At that time, and still, we have two taxanes, both Taxol and Taxotere, that were commercially available, widely used for the treatment of metastatic and early-stage breast cancer. And there was some preclinical and clinical data suggesting that Taxotere might be somewhat more effective, although it did come at the price of more toxicity. There was also a question about the optimal scheduling of both taxanes. So this trial was really designed to answer a very practical question as to which taxane was more effective in patients with early stage disease, and also what schedule was the optimal schedule.
So what was the design and eligibility of the study?
The study targeted predominantly women with high-risk operable breast cancer defined as lymph node positive or lymph node negative with a primary tumor measuring at least 2 centimeters. The study design involved all patients receiving 4 cycles of doxorubicin and cyclophosphamide given in a standard dose and schedule, which at the time included an every 3-week schedule of administration. And then patients subsequently received either docetaxel or paclitaxel given at a conventional dose and schedule every 3 weeks or weekly for 12 consecutive weeks. For paclitaxel, the dose was 175 milligrams per meter squared every 3 weeks, and docetaxel, 100 milligrams per meter squared every 3 weeks using the every 3-week schedule. And for the weekly schedule, for paclitaxel, the dose was 80 milligrams per meter squared, and for docetaxel was 35 milligrams per meter squared. The trial was designed as a 2-arm trial, I should say, with a 2x2 factorial design, comparing the 2 taxanes and the 2 schedules.
When the trial was put together, and was it 1999?
Yes, the trial was written in 1999 and approved. The discussions that led to the design were sometime between 98 and 99.
So when you all started to think about this, what were you looking for in terms of potential differences and specific outcomes, and how many patients and events were you thinking you're going to need?
Well, the trial was designed to detect about a 15 to 20% reduction in the risk of recurrence by either the taxane or the schedule. And if a difference in any one of those primary endpoints emerged, then it had reasonable power to detect differences between the standard arm, which was the every 3-week paclitaxel arm, and the other individual arms.
And how many patients and events were you thinking you were going to need?
The trial was designed to require about 1,042 events precisely to see the effects that we were looking for. And it was estimated that we would need about 5,000 patients to complete that. And it actually accrued quite well over a period of about 2 years. But it took longer to reach the number of events than projected.
How many patients came in the study, were in there?
Approximately 5,000 patients were enrolled.
So you got the number of patients that you wanted, but the events weren't as many as you thought.
Exactly. Getting the number of patients that we needed for the trial was not a problem at all. It accrued very, very briskly. But the events occurred at a lower rate than we anticipated, and that had been previously described quite recently. Part of the reason may be the fact that the adjuvant Herceptin trials for HER2-positive patients were activated at about the same time, and so many of the high-risk patients were being siphoned off to those studies.
When you finally reported it, what fraction of the patients were HER2-positive?
At the time we reported it, about 20% were determined to be HER2-positive, as determined by the local institutional laboratory. We did not have central review at the time that we reported the data.